It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
With amigos, got a lot to get into today as it is the Sports Hangover. Always fun when you guys give us a buzz here. 800-998-1003 on the Ruderman caller hotline. Congratulations. Thank you for being a part of the show to Ruderman. So absolutely go give them a look-see as they are now part of the show. And it's the way to give us a buzz on the Sports Hangover. As we got a lot to get into today on the show, we'll go over some college baseball. It wasn't the weekend that I think a lot of teams would have liked to have there as well. Just of the local teams, just one, Tulane, winning their series over the weekend as they win on Friday 3-2 against Pepperdine and played on Saturday 1-7-3. A doubleheader, could not get the second game as they lose 6-4, but it was a series win. Now, they play today at 6:30 against St. Louis, and then will be at Rice over the weekend. LSU goes to Mississippi State. The Tigers, number two heading into the week, lose the series at Mississippi State. They lose Friday 10-4, and on Saturday, they do win 9-8, but yesterday 15-5 the final. That game ended in 8 innings. They'll look to bounce back tomorrow against Louisiana Tech. And then they host Florida, number 8, the Gators, as LSU drops from 2-5 this week in the baseball polls. UNO took on Memphis at the lakefront this weekend. Lost on Friday 5-4, won on Saturday 6-1 in the first game of a doubleheader, and then lost on Saturday 12-10. We'll try to speak with head coach Blake Dean tomorrow as they get back into action on Wednesday against Jackson State. And then they start conference action against Nicholls over the weekend. Speaking of the Colonels, Mike Silva is going to join us tomorrow here as well. They went up to Lincoln, Nebraska to take on the Huskers, and they lost on Friday 7-6, lost Saturday 16-0, and then on Sunday they lost 11-4. So that's your college baseball kind of scoreboard in what took place over the weekend. We'll focus a lot more on that tomorrow as we normally do on Tuesdays. NFL free agency, that is still a big topic as Justin Fields and the move to Pittsburgh is being seen as a big and interesting move, to say the least, with them a conditional six-round pick. We'll talk a little bit more about this here at the bottom of the hour and into the show because, again, I was kind of saying it last week. Hey, maybe I call Chicago and, you know, maybe he's the next Taysom Hill. I actually heard one of the national hosts this morning kind of suggest that maybe they should have kept him Chicago and make him a Taysom Hill type player. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's kind of what I was thinking about maybe doing it. I don't know if the Saints called about him or not. Reportedly, there were other teams interested in him, but apparently that's where he wanted to go. He had a list of teams that he wanted to go to as well. So that's where he's at. We'll talk a little bit about that here coming up. It was Selection Sunday yesterday. I haven't forgot about that. So Rafael Esparza is going to join us from 115 to 145. We're going to go through the bracket game by game with him. We've done this in the past. I don't know if that helps you or not, but we'll get his take on it, Mr. Vegas himself, and go through it. It's probably going to be the first time I'm going to get the chance to look at the entire bracket here as well. So we'll look at that and see what's going on. Congratulations to Grambling as they get into the play-in or the first four as well. So we'll take a look at all of that from 115 to 145. Jeff Boggs will join us at 145. And then in the 2 o'clock hour, Marlon Favorite, 215. Leo Haggerty as well. He'll give us his brackets and thoughts on that. So we do have a lot to get into. Open segments, feel free to call in. Buddy will be taking your phone calls over in the LaRose studios. Again, on the Ruderman hotline, 800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. And each and every day, each and every hour, when we start our main topic, we like to call it the lead. And it is always brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic.
Time now for
The lead. The lead. The lead. The lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
All right, it is your New Orleans Pelicans. That is our lead. They will be heading out later this afternoon, about an hour and a half from now. They will be departing for yet another road trip. It really honestly feels like this team is always on the road, huh? Four straight now. Tomorrow will be at the Nets, at the Magic and Heat on Thursday and Friday. And then on Sunday, they will take on the Pistons before beginning the gauntlet, as I have called it. The final 11 games will be something else. They start with six straight at home. It'll be the Thunder on the 26th, the Bucks on the 28th, the Celtics on the 30th. That's a Sunday. And then you got the Suns on April 1st, the Magic on April 3rd. All of those teams I just mentioned are in the playoffs, and all of those teams will be battling for seeding as well. Then you got the Spurs on April 5th. That is no gimme. Victor Wembanyama right now is crushing it. He's playing really well, and that is a team that's going to be difficult to play because you're playing all those other teams there as well. Then you go on the road after that game against the Spurs. So that's your six at home. Thunder, Bucks, Celtics, Suns, Magic, Spurs. Spurs being the only one that's not in the postseason. You go on the road at the Suns. Think those two games against Phoenix are going to be pretty important. You have a two-game lead on them. So you look at them, and those two games kind of key. April 1st, April 7th against the Suns. Then you go to Portland and take on the Trailblazers on the 9th. Got a couple days in between, not much. But then you're at the Kings on the 11th, at the Warriors on the 12th. That is a back-to-back. And you come home and close out the regular season Sunday against the Lakers. So where is everything going into today? When you take a look at the standings in the Western Conference, Oklahoma City is in first. Denver, ugh. Kyrie Irving with a ridiculous shot at the buzzer to beat them yesterday in Dallas. They're half game back. Minnesota's in third, one game back. The Clippers are five games back of the Thunder. Your New Orleans Pelicans are six. They are one game behind the Clippers, thanks to Atlanta yesterday taking care of them, but that wouldn't have mattered. The Pelicans didn't take care of business back on Friday.
Around the perimeter, George for three! Hart blocks the shot!
Of course he does!
Takes it in midair!
Not on him!
And will dunk it in! 8-0 run! Wow!
Now with eight, Zion front court with one, with zero.
Oh,
take
yes, sir!
Roll.
Yes, sir!
Coast to coast!
Downhill, double Dutch bus. Everybody get out the way.
Marshall in the left corner.
Float it up! Trey!
Oh, yes, sir! Kiss the rim, Trey!
Alley-oop! Dunk!
Trey right corner. Back up top Zion. Switch defenders. Drives in.
And one. Should have been and one.
Scoops it in!
Ball game.
Dagger, dagger, dagger!
Zion Williamson, 34 points in that game back on Friday. Trey Murphy, four threes. He had 14 points. Larry Nance Jr. had 12, but man, Zion was something else in that game. He also had seven rebounds to go with four assists, three steals, a block. If you were there Friday or if you watched it, that was absolutely a playoff game. Love the energy, love the environment, loved all of that. And it was just awesome to see and be a part of that. But again, more importantly, Zion looked like the best player on the court. It's been a while since we've been able to see that, didn't he? Unstoppable, yelling, diving on the floor for loose balls.
It's just getting to that part of the season. Just kind of letting my teammates know I'm here. I'm with y'all. Whether it's diving on the floor, defense, passing, scoring, just letting them know, nah, I'm with y'all.
How long have Pels fans been waiting to hear that and see that, right? It's happening before our eyes. The maturation, the switch, the getting it in that game. Aaron Summers brought up a very good point. I hadn't seen it before. I didn't talk to Graf about it. I don't know if we've seen it. And I don't know if you've noticed it or if you got to see it on the broadcast. But in that game, at a point in the game, Zion walked over to Willie Green. And he started drawing up plays. I don't know if it was for him, but they were talking about it, but he grabbed the dry erase board and doing that. That's something you see with the league's best, if not great, players, and more importantly, synergy. I think you're starting to see trust on both ends. I think you're starting to see games slowing down, which is something that Zion's brought up last week, that he feels is starting to slow down again, like it was back a couple Decembers ago. And he was playing at an MVP level at that point. He's in better shape. Brian Windhorst on his latest podcast saying he's been told he's dropped 25 pounds since December. You can see it. You can see it. He's putting in the work. More importantly, though, and I said this, remember, if you remember at the beginning of the season, that if Zion got healthy, got in shape, and got back to where he was in December, around March or April, I said, watch out for the Pels. It's happening. What I thought could happen, it's actually happening. It's not about me patting myself on the back, but it's just, hey, if he got in the shape that he can get in, and the way this team was, I thought they could be pretty dangerous. And the other thing about it, too, is your LeBrons, your KDs, your guys like that, the great players, everyone knows they're getting the ball. Everyone knows the play. They can't be stopped. And that happened in that game against the Clippers. Ty Lue, head coach of L.A.
Zion, I think, you know, down the stretch of all three games they won this year, three out of four, he's dominated us the last 6 minutes of the third, like we talked about before the game, in the whole fourth. And so you got to pay attention to detail, like understand what we want to do. And I understand guys want to, you know, play. They want to, you know, compete and to take pride in that. But, you know, going down the stretch when we want to double team them, we got to double team them, like we said. And, you know, come out of timeout, you know, we just got to make sure we put a different, give him a different look. He just got too comfortable, you know, running five roll. They run it every single time, and they've destroyed us three out of four games with him doing the same play over and over. And so, you know, give him credit. Like when the game's on the line, it's a close game, he always takes over the game down the stretch.
Wow. How about that? Isn't that incredible to hear? The other thing that stood out to me on that game on Friday, he shooed Trey Murphy and said, give me Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the game, I was telling him, I was like, y'all, like, I got Kawhi. And he was like, nah, I got him. I was like, hey, man, you got it then. I'm not going to fight you on that one because, I mean, that's what you want out of your stars. You want them to take on the challenge, and he understands what time it is. He understands what time of season it is. And, you know, if you want to win in the playoffs and you want to be a star in the playoffs, you have to play both sides of the ball. It's just the bottom line. So I think that's been a big thing from Z as well as B.I. as well.
Zion, as far as wanting to D up Kawhi Leonard there late?
I got a lot of respect for the players they have over there. And in a moment like that, I felt like I was the better matchup defensively. And, you know, coach, our defensive coach, JC, said, nah, you match up with Kawhi. So I said, I got you. So I think we had a mix-up on a matchup the play before. So Trey was looking around and said, nah, I got him. That's all that was.
And then you get to Saturday. You had to somehow, in less than 24 hours, come back. And you knew it was going to be tough with the energy level, trying to play like that as well. But they did. And they got the win. And that's the biggest key. Can you find a way to get the win? And they did. More importantly, in that game Saturday, welcome back, C.J. McCollum. As he knocks down 6 three-pointers, 30 points for him. Trey Murphy knocked down 4, 20 points for him. Brandon Ingram, 22 points for him. He had 4 blocks as well in a steal. He was a monster on a defensive side, 22 points for him. Zion at 26. Second time this season, 4 of those players, or 4 players, had 20 points or more. But as far as CJ being able to get, you know, turning it around and playing again, it goes with the whole weekend in my theme of today. Listen to what he says as to what got him turning around here. Listen.
Yeah, I've had a lackluster couple weeks of just missing open shots and just not playing at a high level that I hold myself to. And just getting back to the lab, working on my craft and watching film, figuring out how I can, you know, be efficient and assertive. Z pulled me to the side after the game against the, or during the game against the Clippers. Like, I just need you to be aggressive. I need you to be Portland CJ. I need you to
score.
He's like, I need you to score. I need you to shoot. He's like, we'll facilitate. You got to shoot. And I was like, all right. Say no more. I got you, bro. So just trying to be aggressive, trying to pick my spots. And I think, you know, we got a lot of talented guys, a lot of guys who create gravity in terms of, you know, double teams. B.I.'s getting double. Z's getting double. Team is always aware of them. JV gets double. You know what I mean? So just trying to pick my spots and be aggressive. And I think some of it was just me missing shots. And then some of it was just me not being aggressive or assertive enough. And I think tonight I got back to the basics and played better.
How about that? About Zion stepping up in the leadership category. Uncle Earl, I see you here as well. Up next, though, is the Graf. We'll talk to him as he's heading to the airport. And we'll get to you, Uncle Earl, I promise. Just stay with us. Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Six miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark. We're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. I think Todd Raffinini, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans, the best I can say. You speak for all of us when I hear this clip.
Zion powers
My
in on
goodness
Walker.
Gracious.
Throws it up and one. Hey, thanks, ref, for calling a foul.
I mean, it really is amazing sometimes how he does not. But look, man, you got to be happy with what you saw on Friday and Saturday. You kind of heard my theme there in the opening segment. I think we're watching Zion Williamson grow before our very eyes, taking over, becoming dominant on Friday, doing it on both ends of the court. And then we hear from CJ Saturday saying he pulled me aside to wake me up and get me playing better. How do you see what you're seeing here with him?
Gus, look, you talked about it. Bells fans have been waiting for this for a while, and just thinking about it, it's been 14 months, really, since he got hurt. In Philly that January 2nd, 2023. He's back to where he was before, and he might even be a little bit better, Gus, because the coaching staff is asking him to do more as far as handling the ball. He was starting to do that before he got hurt last year, Gus, but I think now it's full-blown point Zion. He's playing more minutes. I know technically he's not playing more minutes if you look at the raw data, Gus, but that's a lot of that has to do with a lot of these games this year. The Pels have won in blowout fashion. He just hasn't needed to play. So I think in that theory, his minutes are a little down. But now you've seen really in the last few weeks, he's playing 35, 36 minutes, and that's only going to get higher as these games become more important down the stretch, and they're all very important. Starting tomorrow night in Brooklyn. But just seeing what he's doing on both ends of the floor now, Gus, the defense, you know, telling Trey Murphy, hey, I'm going to take Kawhi Leonard. Well, I don't think you would have heard that. Even as recently as this December, you would not have heard that from Zion. So he's taken on that. He's taken on the leadership role, as you mentioned. He's rebounding the ball. He just had another double-double on Saturday night against Portland. He was one rebound away from another double-double against Cleveland. So he's doing it on both ends of the floor. And obviously the scoring is there. It's just a lot of fun to watch. And if you're a Pels fans, it's like, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is what we wanted. This is what we need. If we're going to make some noise in the postseason, you have to have that guy at the top of his game. And he is absolutely trending that way. And it's just a joy to watch. And look, as far as the weekend goes, Gus, and you did talk about it, Friday night was just awesome to be in there. Playoff atmosphere against a team you're going really for the fourth seed now, head to head. Playoff atmosphere, intense, intense, intense. And I just thought the key to that game was being able to finish, execute down the stretch in a clutch situation at home.
Yeah.
Because we have not seen it a whole lot this year. You are able to do it against a really, really good team. But the next night, Gus, it wouldn't have meant anything if you stub your toe against the Portland Trailblazers. And I don't think the Pelicans came out with any type of lack of energy, despite the intense game the night before, because the scoring was there. We had 72 points at halftime against Portland. The problem was on the defensive end. You allowed a team that doesn't score 68 points in the first half. Now, that was obviously rectified at halftime. And then holding Portland to 15 points in the fourth quarter, you were able to seal the deal. But I thought Saturday night was just as important as that Clipper game, and the Pels were able to come through. And you've talked about it time and time again on this show, maturity. Yeah. Are the Pels maturing? And to win games like that, winning games you're supposed to win, we've seen it a bunch this year. And another example was Saturday night. So it was just a really, really good weekend. Throw on top of that, we got a lot of help from teams maybe you're not expecting to get help from. And now, I mean, we're a game back of fourth with the tiebreaker. Thank you, Atlanta Hawks, said nobody ever. But they won't ever get it last night in L.A. And, of course, the Knicks on Saturday night, able to beat the Sacramento Kings. So it was a fun weekend, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt when you take a look at it. 15 games remain. The gauntlet right around the corner, the final 11. I went through it in the opening segment. But, Todd, to your point, and you made it so brilliantly this morning. I'm walking the dog and just laughing. People must have thought I was nuts because you kept sending me gifs of Harry the Hawk, the Atlanta Hawks mascot, just partying and dancing. But, you know, look, you need the help. But then you have to take care of your business. To your point, Zion taking that next level can really elevate where this team is going. The other thing that maybe is going unnoticed nationally, and I know we've talked about it, you do in the broadcast as well. I haven't played the highlights from Saturday night's game. That's coming up. But in that highlight package I put together, it is chock full of Brandon Ingram making defensive plays. I don't think the Pels are where they are and why they're dangerous enough. If those two guys, even though screaming and everybody else wants to say they can't play together, they don't like each other. I don't see that, Todd. And Brandon Ingram's desire to play defense this year and to facilitate and assist and not worry about his points, I think that is a huge, huge reason why the Pels are where they are right now.
We have seen a different Brandon Ingram as well. And it's just, look, this is the player that everybody thought that we would have for all this time. And you think about it, Gus, Brandon's been with us now 5 years. He came over from L.A. in the trade when I started. So Brandon's been here for a while.
Right.
And when he's doing it on both ends, as he is right now, and you talked about the shot blocking, he's always had that ability. We just really haven't seen it to the extent that we're seeing it now. And when your best players, all right, are totally bought in, and I don't think there's any doubt about it, when you watch these guys play, especially in the last month and a half, really going back to post in-season tournament, which is really, I guess, the drop-dead date, if you want to get technical, where it really, really started to turn around for this team. Ingram, he's got a couple triple-doubles to his credit in this time. And when you're doing that, you're rebounding and you're dishing out assists. The assists are up. The rebounds are up. The block shots are up. The scoring is actually down. But you know, Gus, if he needs to, he can. He can have one of those games against the Pacers where he comes out and scores 20 in the first quarter. It's just not been needed from him, which is fine because that means everybody else is stepping up. But when Brandon's playing defense the way he is, and look, I know it went a little unnoticed because of what happened against the Cleveland Cavaliers in that first game of the homestand, but Jared Allen was absolutely killing us on the pick and roll, the center for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it got to the point where the coaches put Brandon Ingram on Jared Allen.
Right. He did pretty good.
As the five. And he did really well, actually. Allen was neutralized for a bit, and the Pels were able to cut that double-digit lead down to five. And then, of course, it got away from us in a hurry because the Caps couldn't miss from beyond the arc that night. But, you know, that got me to thinking, Larry Nance didn't play against Portland. If it got down to it, and with guys getting more minutes the way it's going to be down the stretch with the shorter rotations, in a pinch, you could put Brandon Ingram on an opposing five just because of his length and wingspan. And he's look, Jared Allen is no small individual. That guy's 6'11". And Brandon Ingram was able to hold his own against him. So if you had to do it, depending on what type of rotation you're going to see, you could see Brandon Ingram play the five at different points for the rest of this regular season and even in the postseason. You never know. So but you're not able to do that if he hasn't shown you what he's able to do and capable of doing on the court, which we have seen. So, like I said, I don't want to, you know, repeat myself. It's just a lot of fun to watch, Gus, and to see these guys really coming together and playing mature basketball. That's the best part out of all of this, and you've still got 15 really, really tough games to go. And they're all tough, Gus, because you've got something tangible to play for.
Yeah, no doubt. You want to be able to at least get those four games in a series. You'd love to be able to host that first round, Todd. The four games that this team is going up, I know you're getting to the airport here. We only have 3 minutes anyway. It starts with Brooklyn. What's the key tomorrow night?
Well, Brooklyn played a tough game last night, and they absolutely gave it away. I watched pretty much all of it. They were actually in Austin. They played the San Antonio Spurs, but they played it at the new arena in Austin where the UT Longhorns play. And Brooklyn, you know, flying back to New York, I don't know if they went back last night or today, they should be kicking themselves. They had a 10-point lead midway in the fourth quarter, and they let it slip away. They lost in overtime to a San Antonio team who's playing a lot better now. And, of course, we're going to play them in that homestand coming up after we get back on the road. But Brooklyn, it's weird because they got rid of Jacques Vaughn. They've got an interim coach in Kevin Ollie, who was the former coach of UConn before Danny Hurley took over. And they're playing okay for him, but this is a team that knows it's not really going anywhere. They're four back of Atlanta for 10th in the play-in. So they're already on the outside looking in. And they've got a lot of talented veterans, but they just don't play together. You know, they got a Mikhail Bridges and a Dorian Finney-Smith and a Nick Claxton. They're all really solid players. You know, former LSU Tiger Cam Thomas, who can score at will.
Right.
He's on that Brooklyn team as well. But they're not a team. You know, they're a bunch of individuals. Now, they're talented, but that's a game that the Pels have to win. Mm-hmm. That's a game that you're like, oh, Brooklyn's good. I know it's a road game. Kick business. The Orlando-Miami back-to-back, Gus, that's going to be tough. We don't match up very well against Orlando, and I don't have to tell you about Miami because we haven't beaten them. I can't even tell you the last time we beat them. It was March of 2020. That's just not been a good matchup. So going to the road trip, you're hoping for really a split.
Right.
It would be kind of unrealistic to hope to win both games, especially in a back-to-back. If you split those games and then fly up to Detroit, tremendous geography road trip, Gus, going from New York to Florida to Detroit, but that's the way they've done it. I mean, that's ludicrous. But, yeah, so next Sunday we'll be up in Detroit. They're playing better, Gus.
Yeah, no, they're a hard team, no doubt.
They had Miami on the ropes yesterday in Detroit, and then Cade Cunningham decided to take a shot with 9 seconds left in the ball game, which he missed, gave Miami the ball back, and Bam Adebayo hit a buzzer-beating three to win the game. But they're playing tough. Detroit, they're playing a lot better than they were a couple months ago. So that's not going to be easy, but still a game on paper you should win.
All right. Well, let's see what takes place. As we said, I mean, there's only 15 left. They all matter, and to your point, the Blazers and the Spurs are going to be part of that, you know, series here as well. That in the final 11 that you look at, they're not playoff teams, but they can beat you. So you have to play well in each of these games, man.
Yeah, and I know we got to go, but look, biggest cliche in the dictionary of cliches. It's one game at a time. You can't look ahead. I can, but you really can't. You've got to take it quarter by quarter. We have how many times in the last couple of weeks you said, handle your business, handle your business, handle your business. Well, the Pelicans, for the most part, have handled their business. And when you do that, then good things can happen because we're getting help from other teams. But it means nothing if you don't take care of what you need to take care of, and that's 48 minutes against whomever it may be. And the next game is tomorrow night in Brooklyn. So worry about that, and then after that you can worry about going to Orlando and Miami. But you can't really look ahead, Gus. It served the Pelicans well to this point.
Yeah.
So why change now?
I'm with you, man. Safe travels. I have the window open. I'm getting that breeze, man, out of the north. It is absolutely gorgeous.
I know. I don't think we're coming over the house today, though, Gus.
No.
But I really appreciate the effort. The last couple of trips, I have heard the plane as we literally fly over your house. But today, it's with that north wind, we're going over the lake. So
that's my guess.
I'll let you know.
I'm ready if it comes this way. All right, man. Safe travels. Obviously, we'll see you tomorrow. We're going to be doing a bunch of watch parties as well.
That's right.
From here on out. And every home game, I'm going to be outside of section 122, 121. Love running in the fans up there as well. So should be fun, man. Safe travels. Let's get another W.
Best time of the year. Thanks.
Yep, no doubt. Uncle Earl, I see you still hanging on, sir. Thank you so much. We'll do that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003. That is the number to call on the Ruderman Hotline, as Uncle Earl has as well. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you holding on with the interview with McGrath. How are you today, man?
Hey, Goose. Happy Monday, brother. I'm loving this north wind breezing through Canada.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Hey, Goose. If I could talk real quick with the Pels and the Saints, with the Pels.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking everything going, man. The only thing, and I think you would agree, as in going forward and getting into the playoff, and I like how Zion's playing, is consistency. We could shoot lights out one night and then the next night go 3-for-22 on three-pointers, which could cost us a game or a series in turnovers. So I guess really, Goose, they are who they are, right? I mean, you can't stay hot three-pointers every game, you know, but if they some kind of way get consistency, and I don't know how they've been doing with the turnovers the last couple of nights, as in that. But do you agree? I mean, it just seems like we always talk about three-pointers. I think that in turnovers, probably if you do pretty good with that in the playoffs, you might get in the finals.
Well, I want to see how this team performs in the postseason. Matchups are so key here as well. And
oh, yeah.
Look, I don't see in the Western Conference anyone sweeping anybody, right? I mean, I just don't. I just think that it's so good. I mean, look, right now, the league could have, and again, I know there's a lot of basketball still to be played, but for the play-in scenario, if the season ended today, it'd be Luka, Kyrie versus Kevin Durant and Booker, Mavs Suns, at 7-8. LeBron, AD, Steph, and the Warriors at 9-10.
Wow.
Like, that's the play-in. That's the play-in right now. So, I mean, I'm just saying, it's nuts. I mean, it being the most watched play-in games ever, and then, obviously, 7 and 8 would then play the Thunder and Nuggets. I just look at the Western Conference and being able to do what the Pels have done on the road, winning 21. They're one of the best teams in the Western Conference. Matter of fact, they have the most wins on the road in the Western Conference other than Minnesota that has 23. 23 for Minnesota, 21 for New Orleans, Oklahoma City, Denver, L.A. have 20. So, and those are your top five teams. You have to be able to win on the road, and that puts you in a spot to do that, you know, to maybe win a series, because you're going to have to, right? I mean, if you don't have home court, you got to steal one. And then you got to win two at home, and then you got to steal another one. So I think the fact that this team can show that, and in this four-game road trip will be key. But if you can win some games on a road and show you can win some games on a road and you're not bothered. I mean, Zion Saturday saying, and hey, it's the personalities. We thrive in it. We like that. Can't coach that. Can't teach that, man. Some guys don't like that moment. Some guys do. They thrive on it. I think they like the arena being full and loud and rooting against you and things like that nature. So I don't know if they can make the finals. I don't know if they can make the Western Conference finals. I'd just be really, really happy to get in to the first round without a play-in, step one. And if you could win that first-round playoff series, man, that'd be incredible to see them do that because they need that experience. They need to be able to go through that, you know?
I agree with that 100%, Goose. And I'm pulling for them boys, man. Hey, Goose, if I can real quick.
Yep.
What's been going on with the Saints and well, seems like nothing's really been going on, but it seems like, and we talked about this, that the players we're using, losing, and then I think a big key, especially depth at cornerback, is Yada, if I pronounce this right, going to the 49ers.
Yadam, yeah.
I mean, what's kind of going on, Deuce? It seems like we got some money that we can spend a little bit. Now, then I heard that the guy that was the defensive end that was supposed to come here, like,
Chase Young.
Rescheduled a visit, yeah, and then we don't know if I don't like the direction this is kind of going. Am I kind of being like premature on this though right now?
I would ask you this, and it's something I touched on Thursday and Friday. Is this not what you expected? Like, what I'm saying is we kind of knew they didn't have a lot of money,
right?
Could they get under the cap? Yes. Are they like 15 mil or so over? Yeah. But based on all the reporting that was last week when they made some moves, restructured contracts and such, 5 to 6 of that goes to your draft picks. So you got about 10, right? Somewhere in the ballpark of that. What we said last week, or at least what I was saying on the show, is I get you can get underneath the cap. That's different than being able to spend. And the analogy I've been using is last Friday was payday for many people, right? It was the 15th. So, you know, last Friday, maybe your hunger, Uncle Earl, for that crawfish, you can go do that. But now I got to get through this week to get to next Friday for the next paycheck, right? So this Friday, I can't do that, right? I shop differently this week. I decide whether or not I want the good whiskey. This week, right, or not. You get what I'm getting at? On paydays,
oh, yeah,
you spend differently and you feel different. That week in between, you pinch it a bit. So I do think at some point in time, if you want to be able to make those moves and things of that nature, you have to get your house in order. And I think it's been done very quietly, but I don't think there's any way to not look at this. They're doing that. That's why I've been trying to tell you, when you look at the moves on the offensive side, this isn't, hey, yes, they want to get to the postseason. They want to get this fixed and going in the right direction. But the odds that it's all going to happen within the next 3 to 5 months is rough. But that's why I've been playing and pointing out. You have Jeff Ireland sitting down with Kubiak. What players do you need for this offense? They don't have those players. This team needs to get younger and faster on defense. They can't do that overnight. They can't do that in the draft. They can't do that in free agency. A, they don't have the money. B, I don't know if that's the right way to go do it about. I mean, the Packers have shown they would rather build through within. When you look at the draft, you have 5 fifth-round picks, no fourth, no third, 1 second, 1-1. So you're not going to retool your defense and your team this year. You need to find some bookends. You need to find some players that you can build and become starters and jersey sellers, though. That's for sure. Next year, if you're taking care of your cap and your money, like they've quietly done this year, and trying to do that, you can spend a little bit more next year and get a player that comes in. Maybe it's not a Kirk Cousins-type deal or player, but you know what? Rondale Moore, Mooney to the Falcons, and players like that. They might not be great players that sell tons of jerseys, but they help in certain spots. And then you'll have more draft picks next year. They're rebuilding. They won't tell you that, but that's what they need to do, and that's what they're doing. And they should have done it 2 years ago, but they're doing it. So that's the expectation level that I look at this year. Get your house in order. Find some nice young players. Find out, man. Is Penning your left tackle? If he is, that's a huge help, because now you can just worry about other spots. Your right tackle's got to get solved at some point. When you're looking at guard, you're looking at all these other different pieces. But to your point, not keeping Yearnum, not picking Yadam, not keeping Lonnie, Johnson, all these other players, because you don't have that extra money. Because you don't have money. I mean, you do, but you don't, if that makes any sense.
You tell, hey, Goose, I'd rather kind of, honestly, this year, we're going to take some lumps, especially with the schedule, and we talked about it. Man, I'd rather start just looking for the future. If we take our lumps this year, I want to be better financially next year and the year after that. And like you're saying, just keep rebuilding, man. I mean, I'm not looking for any miracles this year, man. I love Uncle Scotty, but
Again, if they have a 14-win season this year, we're all getting tattoos of Florida Lees. Not that I don't want them to, and not that I don't think it'd be great. But that's it. Again,
hey, you laid it out perfect, Goose. Have a wonderful day, baby. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, man. Thank you for holding on. Appreciate it here as well. Nathan Peterman, the backup quarterback for your New Orleans Saints. I guess he's going to be competing with Jake Haener. He spoke today, so I'll try to get you some of that sound here coming up at the top of the hour as he just was in the building and signed his paperwork and was made available. So we'll do that here in a quick bit. But we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Nick Calling from the NOLA Gold. We'll talk about the team's game against the New England Free Jacks over the weekend. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, and that is the Ruderman Hotline and Guest Line as Nick Calling from the NOLA Gold joins us to talk about this past weekend's game as the team gets ready to take on its second opponent on the road. Nick, first off, sir, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Gus?
Doing well, man. All right, so the first two games, the Gold get wins, 18-6, 34-19, first road trip of the season came this past week and taking on the New England Free Jacks. And as we talked about last week, it's a name in MLR that everyone knows, defending champs. They've been in the playoffs all the time, all of that stuff. 27-21 is the final, New England with the win. For folks that didn't get a chance to see it, I kind of feel like this was one of those games where it was a good early test in a battle, where one of those things where you want to win, obviously, and a loss, though, is something that maybe you find out a little bit more about your team. I don't know. What did you make of the 27-21 ball game?
Oh, yeah. We left New England with a really good positive attitude. It was one that, yeah, obviously every single game we want to go out there and win, but we're headed up to New England. It is Boston on a St. Patrick's weekend. There was green galore. There was a lot of energy in the stadium. And, you know, losing within 7 points actually ends up giving us a bonus point in the table standing. And it was a really good outcome for, you know, what some of the things that happened on the field. For example, we got a yellow card, which meant we went down to 14 on 15 men. Within 1 minute of play. So for 10 minutes to start the game, we were down already one man on the field and we didn't let him score, which is the big, massive thing that, you know, the guys on the field did a phenomenal job at just managing the game at that point. So starting already from that behind position to come out with a 27-21 defeat, yeah, it sucks, but there's a lot of positives from that game that we can take off. I mean, looking forward to Dallas.
I think one of the things that you want to probably see early on in the season, too, is, you know, compare and contrast, right? Like, let's just start with the most simplistic thing, talent. Do you kind of feel you guys matched up with them?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It was one that at the end of the first half, you know, everybody was sitting there. It was a 14-0 halftime score, and fans were sitting there kind of panicking. New England has been known, they have their stadium, Veterans Memorial Stadium, great little place in Quincy, Massachusetts. They have had a 20-plus game win streak at home for the past 2 years, and it was broken last week by DC. And to then show up in the next game and be down 14-0 at halftime, there's really some panic. You could feel it in the stadium that everybody was kind of like, oh, what's happening? We're the defending champions. We shouldn't be down like this. So it was really good. That first half was phenomenal. Second half, there was a few little mistakes. It happens. It's early in the season. But a lot of positives came out of it, and we're really looking forward to seeing them again since they're in conference here at the Gold Mine on June 22nd.
Yeah, a little bit of revenge when it comes back here a little bit in a bit. That said, you already mentioned it a little bit about looking forward to Dallas this week here as well. We're going to get a chance to talk with Coach here coming up on Wednesday. We'll be out there doing the remotes here with you guys. But what is something that you can take from Saturday into this game coming up against Dallas?
Yeah, so I think if you watch the game and you look at the stats after the game, a lot of the systems were working. There was a great game plan in which I think in some capacity we kind of exposed New England in a way to kind of put them on their heels. And that's what we did in the first half. They made a few adjustments at halftime, and it kind of helped them stay afloat. But that first half is kind of an open book for a test for anybody down the future how to beat New England. And so that really just comes back to the amazing coaching that we're having this year. It's been a really good impact that Corey Brown has brought, and it's actually allowed everybody to be at a higher level on the coaching staff because, you know, there is less of a large picture type view they have to take. Mm-hmm. And they're able to focus on more detailed things and come up with game plans. So it's kind of, that's, I think, the big takeaway is going into this game as we prepare, really confident in what the coaches can do in terms of putting a game plan for Dallas.
Right.
And then also being able to execute it. The players have been great at executing and seeing what the game plan is supposed to be looking like.
Over in the Western Conference, Dallas in third with 11 points. Houston has 13 points. Seattle has 12. New Orleans over in the Eastern Conference where they are. New England just beat them 11 points. You mentioned getting that extra point there, losing by less than 7 points there. They have 10 and are in second spot there as well. What kind of team is Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas is much improved. Last year they only won 2 games. The year before they won no games. So coming into the season, I think everybody kind of wrote Dallas off as just Dallas. And so far they have completely changed that opinion very quickly of everybody. And it's great because that's what the growth of the league needs. We need teams that are very competitive, and Dallas is going to come in, and it's not a cakewalk. They just beat Anthem 68-28 by 40 points. They showed that they were able to completely dominate the, you know, developing side of Anthem, and so we got to be prepared for them. They beat us in the preseason, and we don't take that very lightly. We're going to focus this week on repaying that favor of beating us in the preseason.
Nick, final thing that we always like to talk about here on Monday here as well, is anything else that stood out to you in MLR? Any upsets? Any games that kind of surprised you? Any storylines?
Yeah, I think one that's kind of interesting is San Diego barely escaped their home opener versus LA in classic Southern California classic. They only squeaked out with a 1-point win, and San Diego, I think, came in as a heavy favorite for everybody after going to the championship last year and completely dominating But this year they have yet to score five tries to get a bonus point in a game. And they have been really close with all the teams, including LA, who's a kind of a expansion team in some capacity, but a relocation from Atlanta. It's one that I think that's an interesting storyline to go and look at. And then also New England struggled twice at home. They look very beatable as well. All in all, I think the big thing over the weekend was Old Glory DC and Chicago ending up tie. That is important because I think it shows there is complete parity in the MLR this year. Anybody can beat anybody, and at the end of the day, a tie is probably not going to be an abnormal result for these games this year.
Oh, boy. that makes every weekend exciting then, doesn't it, Nick? Always a pleasure, man. Looking forward to seeing you again on Wednesday. We'll speak with head coach Corey Brown coming up at 12:30, plus talk a couple of goal players here as well. Bundle up tomorrow, sir. It'll feel like Utah, where you just came from. It's going to be 34 in the morning, apparently, as I watched the news. Yeah. So I don't know where that came from, but it is. It'll just be a day. We'll warm up again. But just be prepared, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate the time. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Yep,
for sure. Go check them out over there on their webpage, NOLAGoldRugby.com. And again, they will be back over at the Gold Mine here shortly in two more weeks, April 6th, 3 p.m. match against the Chicago Hounds, and we will be there the Friday before. Coming up in hour number two, Rafael Esparza is going to do a half hour with us. He's going to do 115 to 145 going into Jeff Boggs. From our sister station, KNAE, we're going to talk men's bracket and also the women's bracket, which we hadn't got a chance to here. But I don't know. I'm curious his opinion here. LSU got a 3 seed. They will take on Rice. And I look at, and that's on Friday, but if they win, they will play the winner of Louisville and Middle Tennessee. Louisville is, of course, where their point guard came from for the Tigers. And the other aspect of it is, for them to get to the Elite Eight game, the Sweet 16 possible matchup with number 2 seed UCLA, and you know who the 1 seed is in the regional in Albany? Iowa. So it could set up LSU taking on Iowa, Caitlin Clark, for a chance to get to the Final Four. That's a tough draw, if you ask me. The number 2 seed in UCLA is pretty good, who a lot of people consider their top player, the next Caitlin Clark. It's going to be true. Tough. All right, let's see what happens. I got Nathan Peterman sound, backup quarterback for your New Orleans Saints. Uncle Earl, I know you're excited. Chef Scotty, he's your guy. Let's find out what he had to say next on ESPN New Orleans.
Sink or tub stopped up, can't get it to drain? You know who can?
Rudiman can.
I got a question for you. You hate bending over to put on your shoes? Wish you could just put them on standing or sitting without ever having to touch them? If so, then I have the shoe for you. Introducing new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins. With new Skechers Slip-ins, you just step in and off you go. You don't even need to lace up. So how do Skechers Slip-ins work? Well, there's a special smooth comfort pillow in the heel that helps your foot slide right into place. So just step in them and go. Find new hands-free Skechers Slip-ins for the whole family at a Skechers store, Skechers.com.